Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
All right. Time to start using finger puppets and crayons to explain why self-defense is a good thing. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Gun is a tool, Marion. No better, no worse than any other tool. An axe, a shovel, or anything. A gun is as good or as bad as the man using it.
Well, amen to that. A gun is a tool. Ah, wow, we have a lot to talk about, don't we, on the Kate Daly Show. Welcome, and make sure you get to the website, katedalyradio.com. Uncle Milty joins me. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
How are you, sir? Make sure you get to katedalyradio.com for a couple of reasons. Number one, I need your submissions for A View from the 80th Floor. This is where you, the listener, get to be heard. The last 15 minutes on Friday of every show, I talk about your stories. I'll present what you write on the air, and I want life lessons, words of wisdom. I want to hear from all of you. And that floor is whatever your age is, by the way. If it's a view from the 60th floor, the 40th floor, whatever your age is, I want to hear from you, and I want to hear what you've learned and really what you would like to share with others. Keep it to 4 to 5 paragraphs, please. But submit it to Kate at katedalyradio.com. And we had such a great response so far from the pieces that have been read. And if you didn't hear that, get to katedalyradio.com so you can hear the podcast of that. And I have it in its own podcast. And it really is. I mean, these are just amazing pieces written by listeners that want to share their words of wisdom. And it can be A View from the 100th Floor. I'm actually hoping to get one of those. So please share with the rest of this global audience your words of wisdom. And it can be on politics, family, life in general. What have you learned? Also, make sure you get over there because Balance of Nature, you'll see a picture of Balance of Nature. And they really are that good. They really are that wonderful in giving you a product that is basically everything it says it is. It's fruits and vegetables, all dehydrated down from cherries to spinach to you name it, mushrooms, all dehydrated down in capsule form. And all you have to do is throw a couple of those back every day, and you are giving such substantial health to your body, to your immunity, and it really is that good. I did my homework on this, and I'm telling you that this is the one product that had it all, and it had it all really, truly for the best price, and the price is already low, but you can get another 35% off. You can cut that a third by going to balanceofnature.com and putting in the code Kate. And I'm telling you, it is that good. Put in the code Kate. Make sure you get those savings. Sure appreciate you listening to this show, by the way. I know Uncle Milty does. We both do, because your participation in this show is going to be, is really the reason that we even do this, is because this has to be the people's show. This has to be something that we're all getting together and talking about. Let's talk about, first of all, I do have to mention this. I know they're calling it impeachment, but in the case of Trump versus Soros and fanatical communism and Schiff, the latest is that Lindsey Graham, who I don't trust, by the way, I know some of you might like him. I don't. Lindsey Graham, he's just another McCain to me. Lindsey Graham is saying that the Senate won't hear it unless they can hear whistleblower testimony, unless they get another side to the case, which... Anything moving forward, especially in Trump versus Soros, Schiff, and fanatical communism, I would think that you would have both sides, but no, they're not letting that. So I just wanted to say that it'll be interesting to see these next steps, because it's a really sick state of affairs and process that we're actually doing this way. It's amazing to me, and I'm wondering what they're going to pull out of the hat next. I actually think they have a couple of things that they're going to pull out of the hat that are going to surprise us. And of course, there'll be lies too, just like everything else has been, Russia and everything else. But, you know, they'll continuously try. But let's talk about the Remington case, because this is a big deal. And it's a big deal in a lot of ways. So let's kind of go over just a little bit about what just happened with the Supreme Court, Uncle Milty.
Well, the Supreme Court has refused to take up the case from the Connecticut Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
that disallowed the lawsuit that the Connecticut Superior Court approved.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so
it went up the chain of command, and the Supreme Court won't hear it.
So now they refused. Going back to the lower Connecticut court to be retried.
Right. They didn't reject it. They're just not going to hear it again.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to hear it.
Supreme Court says they won't hear it, what they're saying is there's no constitutional issue here.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, go ahead and do your case.
Right, and sue Remington.
May the best man win.
Mm.
But to sue a manufacturer because of how their product is used...
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the lawsuit is, actually. That's kind of a misinterpretation. What the lawsuit says is that the way the firearm was marketed...
Yeah, that's the problem. That's
problem.
What they're saying is the problem.
Like, it was marketed as, like, this turned you into a one-man army kind of thing.
Right.
And you get your man card back.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do with the, and it's a particular rifle. It's the Bushmaster XM15.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reason that rifle is so common is because it was the least expensive AR-15 style rifle out there.
Okay.
And so they sold a lot of them.
Right.
And they sold a lot of them because they're good rifles and they were inexpensive.
Yeah.
And the fact that they look like a military-style rifle is really strange because we've been buying military-style rifles for a long, long time.
Yeah.
The M1 Garand is still very popular, the main rifle of World War II.
Right.
And we still buy those. The M1 Carbine, we can still buy those. No one says, oh, they look like a military rifle. You shouldn't own those.
Right.
But they do for the AR-15 because it looks like a military rifle.
Mm-hmm. That's their thing. So it's kind of interesting. In more of these suspicious cases, which I'm very suspicious about Sandy Hook, there's just so much that doesn't add up. Sorry, there just is. I've done hours. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know how many hours on Sandy Hook, and nothing adds up about Sandy Hook. The Beltway sniper attacks, do you remember that in 2002?
Mm-hmm.
That was also the same type of gun, too, that they said was used. And so there's been multiple cases. And so it's interesting that this particular kind of weapon sort of is at the helm of a case like this. My biggest question in this was, why not go after the school district? Why did they not do that? Why go after the gun manufacturer?
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting pursuing of a case because it's very political. We call this lawfare. Lawfare is warfare. It's using the law for warfare. And I feel like this has become very political, and there's a reason that they politically went after Remington because normally they would have gone after the school district, right? If Sandy Hook took place then in the way that they said it did, then wouldn't they go after the school district for not keeping the kids safe?
Yeah.
One would think.
There's lots of different ways they could go. I mean, well, let's not sue the gun manufacturer. Let's sue the person who made the ammunition.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about the ammunition manufacturer?
Adam Lanza, and I say Adam Lanza in quotations, and if you've listened to my show, you'll know why. Adam Lanza apparently didn't even buy the gun. So how could he have been marketed to? He didn't buy it. His mother, they say, bought the gun. And so the case falls apart really right there because
exactly.
They have to claim that he was marketed to. And how would you know that if he didn't even purchase it? That means that you're not a subject of the marketing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How would you be? Yeah, you didn't purchase anything.
Now, if he had purchased it, it might give a little more strength to their argument, but he didn't.
No. In fact, the people that bought cigarettes, right? And they said, well, we marketed them.
Yes.
Are the kids then, you know, able to be part of that discussion when talking about smoking? Well, no, because this woman, it was her kid, right? They say it was her boy that took that gun, murdered her, and then went up and shot 26 people without anyone doing anything or having any. Anyway, I could go on and on about Sandy Hook, but this little waif like 100-pound character went in and was able to do this. But they would have gone after the school district. There's no way. This never has made sense. And let me tell you something else. That little pink house. Do you remember the eminent domain case?
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2002, Susan Kilo, right?
Yeah.
She bought a little house in eminent domain. The government wanted to take it. That was also in Connecticut. Do you know how long that case took? 3 years from hearing it in the Connecticut Supreme Court to the Supreme Court. 3 years. 3 years. What is this?
Months.
6 months? Five months? There's something very political afoot, and I know you all know that. I mean, we all know it. It's so obvious. And of course, you know, they want this to go through and get sued. They want them to get sued. Cut them off at their knees? Cut off manufacturing? What is it?
Well, yeah. If they want to, number one, they want to make manufacturers more wary about their products. So if you can get the manufacturers to say, well, we can't manufacture this because we're going to get sued again.
Right.
If they lose this lawsuit, the entire way firearms are marketed, I don't think will change much, actually, because most firearms are marketed in gun magazines.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you were sitting watching a movie at 8 p.m. and a gun commercial came on? You know?
It doesn't.
No.
And
firearm magazines is how they advertise firearms.
Right. I just think it's really opportunistic and sort of obvious, the elephant in the room, when they're going after it based on the cases where they say such and such happened in a mass casualty event. You're not seeing people haul off with their Bushmasters every day doing stuff to people. That is just, but it's very high profile in these types of cases. Just like they said that the same model was used by the Islamic State fighters and in the Iraqi Civil War. And I mean, they're just claiming the weirdest claims on this.
Yeah, but did anyone ask who stole the Islamic fighters?
McCain? Did I say that out loud?
Our government sold them the guns.
McCain pictured there often. Interesting. Lots of trips over there. You know, and Hillary, arms deals, Benghazi.
So one of the arguments that people say is, well, then can we sue a car manufacturer if you kill someone while you're driving their car?
Right.
Well, by this standard, you could say, look, you were speeding. And when Ford marketed that Mustang, they talked about it like it was a race car.
Yeah.
And so it was marketed to people who wanted to get out there and be like a race car driver.
Right.
And now you were speeding and ran somebody over or caused an accident and killed somebody.
Right.
It's the same principle. But we would never allow that lawsuit.
No. Because if my kid got my car, went out and killed somebody, it would be the person against the person. It would be them suing me, suing my child, suing, you know, an estate, whatever the case may be. They wouldn't do that because obviously the car can't do anything without the driver inside doing it.
That's right.
And that's the whole point of this whole gun nonsense is it's interesting how they're going after this. And in so many ways, they're hitting that Second Amendment. This, I think, cuts them off at the knees for manufacturing. So if you can get this, if you can open up this floodgate, can you even imagine how many lawsuits are coming?
Right.
Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. We're just talking about the Remington case, and you can go to katedalyradio.com, by the way. On Twitter, it's The Kate Daly Show. Facebook, it's The Kate Daly Show. You can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com, and also chime in, 888-673-1450. We'd love to hear from you. There's a lot of points I want to make about this case, because it's it could open the floodgates on a lot. We don't understand, I think, some of the ramifications of letting them pursue this manufacturer and basically cutting it off at its manufacturing off of its at its knees if it's open for lawsuits everywhere. I mean, this is getting ridiculous.
But what's really ridiculous, though, is their claim. And their claim is that Remington should have realized that by marketing this firearm, they were eventually going to sell it to a nutcase. They should have known that. So what they're being sued about is that they didn't have a crystal ball.
Right. And just like the car manufacturers don't know if somebody's going to get in their car and be a drunk driver and kill a family. They don't know that, but they should. But they should know it, right?
You know, what they're basically saying is that it's like they believe that Remington actually marketed the rifle in a way that was just the same as saying in their ad, hey, are you mentally unstable, feel like killing lots of people? Remington wants you to buy their new XM-15.
Well, yes, you're right. That's a great point, because in the statement, the lawyer for the families of Sandy Hook, this is what they said in the oral argument. Get this statement. Ready? Remington may never have known the gunman, but they have been courting him for years. I mean, can you believe that? You know what? There's a box of donuts that's been courting me for years, too, and I could blame them on being fat. This is getting ridiculous in the notion of, because they sell a gun, they're courting him? Courting him?
Yeah.
I mean, just get that kind of terminology. That is the most ridiculous statement. They've been courting him for years. Do they know that he picked up and saw their ads, a magazine with their ads in it? Do they know that this person wanted to do this? And, you know, and we're going off on the notion of the narrative right now of Sandy Hook, but this is ridiculous.
It's more than ridiculous.
I mean, courting him for years, as if all of these companies, you know, these companies can market and say what they want about their product. The person decides whether or not they want the product. So the fact that they're going after this in this case, I think is very interesting. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. To me, all of these arguments are really nothing but a distraction. And in my mind, the core of the problem is that people just simply aren't held accountable for their actions. And it starts these days in preschool.
Yep.
Nobody's ever at fault. It's always someone else's fault. And we need to, you know, spread the blame. And if we just went back to you do the crime, you do the time, and it's all your problem, then I think we'd solve a lot of it. And that's kind of just the way I think about it.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. Appreciate that.
You know, if I was an attorney, my argument would be against this, that wait a minute. This is one case. You're trying to say that Remington, it's their fault this one case happened. But the fact is that they sold 5 million of these rifles.
Right. Were there 5 million acts of violence because they
might
have?
Not at all.
Okay.
So if only 3 out of 5 million used the firearm in this wrong way,
2002 Beltway thing or in so-called Sandy Hook thing,
how can any legal authority say you should have known that there would be 3 people in 5 million that would do this?
Right. Right. You can't.
You can't do it.
Yeah. And according to the narrative, you guys, the mother took the measures to lock up the gun. So, the kid, I mean, how far must one go, right?
See, now right there, it's the lock manufacturer's fault.
Ah, it's the lock manufacturer.
They should have known that the kid would learn how to pick that lock and made a different lock.
They should have known. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to throw my 2 cents on this.
Sure.
You're absolutely right, Kate. This can get out of control. This can be used to destroy manufacturing of guns in this country. Now, the core argument here is that they were promoting it, and the words they used in the lawsuit, assaultive qualities, military uses, and lethality, meaning the gun's lethal. Now, the only role that government has, whether it's state, local, federal, regarding a suit of this kind of nature, is whether fraud was committed or not. It doesn't seem in that statement they can say that they misrepresented the weapon.
Right.
So that, and now this is also another point here. This is a state matter at this point. It should be sent back to it because they're arguing over really fraud or not. Now, let's say they lose the case and the manufacturer is being punished. In almost every state, because we're a Republican form of government, the governor and or the state legislature can throw this ruling out. And that's what should happen in that state, in Connecticut. Now, if it gets to the point that it's used as a violation of the Second Amendment, then the supremacy law supersedes. Then the U.S. courts, then and also Congress and the president as well, can rule against, then rule on it. but it has to be a Second Amendment. Now, all this started because of federal regulations on guns. That's where all this began in Connecticut. That's what, where it's rooted in.
Cutla. There were some different laws like Cutla, some different things that passed.
And then they passed a law to protect gun manufacturers. So, but they're saying this is a loophole to that gun. Well, there shouldn't be had to pass a law like that because every federal regulation is should be null and void. Every state should say no. Stop bringing that frivolous stuff into our state. We're not going to enforce and not allow you to enforce any gun regulation on any gun dealer. That's the big problem. In the 1990s, under the Clinton administration, Congress, three-quarters of all gun shops were put out of business because of expansion of gun regulations on them. And so that's shops, but we're going after manufacturers.
Well,
And now this is really important. It's not a federal matter, but if it becomes a federal matter and it's a supremacy, concerning gun control, and the federal court should rule.
Right. Thank you for that. Really appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, you're right on the money. And now the gun manufacturers are expected to join in this game of suspecting everyone is guilty before proving themselves as innocent and safe with their guns, as if the manufacturer has to know whether you're going to be safe or not. It's kind of going back to your comment coming in. You know, are you mentally unstable? Mm-hmm. And so now, and so then what restrictions come because of that, because of this need, right, to make sure that every gun manufacturer knows? I mean, this is getting so ridiculous, and the should have known sort of stance on this is you can't know that, and they're not held responsible for that. The person is, the individual, like the caller said.
The entire argument is ridiculous from top to bottom. Okay, there's part of the argument is they marketed the gun based on its lethality. Well, I, like most conservative, responsible gun owners, make sure any firearm that I buy isn't lethal. I mean, well, come on.
That's true.
It's lethality.
No, that's true. That's a great point. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. Go right ahead, caller.
Okay, so I think you guys are missing a point. I think we need to stick it back to Hollywood. I think they're the biggest advertiser for firearms.
Ah, okay. You mean in all those movies?
So go ahead.
In all the movies, you're saying?
Yeah. Gun magazines, I don't think a teenage kid is going to be going and buying a gun magazine.
Nope.
I think they're more watching movies and doing research online.
Yeah.
So we can put it back right back into their court.
Ah, okay. Hey, thanks for that. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Movies and video games sell guns.
Yeah. Yeah. He's right. Yeah. All right. Let's take another caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
What about inheritance?
What do you mean?
That's what nobody's talking about.
Okay. Explain.
I think you're right about this being a bit of misdirection. Now, if I check out, the government's going to seize all my guns, and they decide who my people get my guns.
Yeah.
And then you got a generation, and they've got everything locked down.
I think the answer is engravings all over the gun that say, warning, this end has bullets coming out of it.
They already have that. Hey, I've got a new shotgun. That's what it says, basically.
Or this, warning, consider counseling before pulling trigger.
You know, he mentioned the inheritance thing, though.
Yeah.
There are actually ways that you can do a will in such a way that your heirs can inherit your firearms legally, and the government won't be able to interfere. So there's legal ways around that happening.
Right. We have some scary things. You know, Kavanaugh, and I know everybody fought hard for Kavanaugh because of the way the left demonized him. But at the same point, you have to realize, I think, too, that he actually told Senator Cruz and I don't know if people remember this, but his primary basis for making rulings wasn't the Constitution, but the laws. And now we have lawfare, which is warfare in law. And, you know, people can say, well, that's the law. And now that it's being used politically all the time and catered politically, this is a problem when our Supreme Court is coming out and you have a member of the Supreme Court saying, well, I don't always rule with the Constitution. I just rule with the laws we have now, and not seeking to even get back to the Constitution. We have a problem with that. And I think that there's a lot of people on the Supreme Courts in the states and federally that feel the same way he does. We have a big problem coming up with that. I do.
Well, that's the precedent argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Hey, look,
yes.
They made a mistake 75 years ago, and that became the precedent.
And they don't go after that.
Yeah.
They go after now what it
right.
turned into.
Right.
Even though it wasn't okay that's what happened, you're
it
right.
Was
they
a mistake. The original mm-hmm. case was a mistake and shouldn't have been ruled on
right.
that way. But because of that mistake, it's become precedent.
Yeah.
No, that's nonsense.
Right. Right. I agree. The lawsuit, if we had a, if the world was right, if the world was even righteous, a just world, that would take 90 seconds to find in favor of Remington, because Remington didn't do this act of the narrative that we're talking
Not
about of
bit.
Sandy Hook. So, you know, they didn't do the act. But look how quickly this went from the parents to the gun manufacturer to this case. And now they're going to end up, I'll just bet you, being able to sue gun manufacturers. I don't even think we can wrap our brains around what happens after this. But you're going to see a lot of people fold because of this, because they can't afford to keep up with the lawsuits. Remington still has to pay to fight this. This is a huge amount of money.
They have to pay to fight it, but it's worth it for them to pay to fight
yes.
it.
Yes. Oh, I agree with you. I'm just saying, look at all the money incurred even so far. It's ridiculous.
I don't think that the plaintiffs can win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think they can make a case where they win.
The progressive left's going to claim hidden messages that the mass shooters detect and act on, and that those hidden messages are the problem that Remington is sending out, which is, you can't quantify that. You can't, there's no way you could come to a conclusion on that, but they will.
Yeah, apparently you've never seen the movie They Live.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those subliminal messages are all around
us. Oh, my gosh. It's, yeah, this whole thing. There was a reason for Sandy Hook, and it's far beyond some people's comprehension of what Sandy Hook was all about. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules contain 100% fine ripened fruits and vegetables, tested pure with no pesticides, fillers, or additives of any kind, and are the most effective whole food supplements on the market today. Fruits and vegetables are on an average 85% water. Balance of Nature uses cold vacuum technology to remove the water, leaving only the whole food. We don't use any heat, air, or light drying methods that damage nutrients. Our cold vacuum technology maintains 99% of the fresh fruits and vegetables' original nutritional value. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we will take an additional 35% off of your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Why don't you come in here and let me talk to you a while? That's right, step right up and listen to a concerned citizen speak his piece. I'll tell you a little something that my daddy told me. My basic fundamentals if you want to be free. Cause son, there's something wrong.
Welcome back. Yeah, a little Grand Funk Railroad for you. In fact, they won't play that song on the radio anymore. Have you realized that? That is, that's why I play it. That's our rebel instincts, right? That's why I play it, honestly, is because they won't play that anymore. And it's an important song. It is. It says a lot in that song, but nope. Won't play Grand Funk Railroad's Don't Let Them Take Your Gun. And so let's talk a little bit about why. Why are they going after the assault weapon? You know, when things happen, what does the left say within 5 minutes of an event happening? It must have been an assault type gun. They don't even know what an assault type gun is. In fact, Dianne Feinstein, she didn't even know what one was, but she was out there claiming that it was, you know, the beast of all beasts and we needed to get rid of it. It's ridiculous.
Well, think about it for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Why get rid of that?
Why is it an assault gun?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people I know use their rifles for courting. They don't want to assault or defend.
Right. No, that's a great point.
Yeah, they're used for courting. So to call it an assault weapon is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
All firearms assault.
That's what they're there for.
But do they assault in the offense or the defense? That's up to who's behind the trigger.
And why?
Yeah.
And why? And I mean, if you're in war, right, you're going on the offense, right? If you have one in a home, you're in the posture of a defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why are they going after this so hard? And I think the obvious answer is looking at the Second Amendment, we are supposed to be able to match the firepower of our government. Otherwise,
what's the use?
What's the use? Because it wasn't just for hunting and self-defense in your home. It was to match against a tyrannical government. So if you take away, if you leave everybody in a fight with a dull knife, but you have obviously the weapons that you have, who's going to win in that? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, but the reality is this. An AR-15 style firearm is all it is a semi-automatic rifle. That's
mm-hmm.
all it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
It has a certain appearance to it,
mm-hmm.
but the basic rifle is just a semi-automatic rifle. They keep pushing for this because once they make this rifle illegal,
mm-hmm.
then all semi-automatic rifles become illegal.
Right.
Because then they'll stop talking about what they look like, and then they'll start talking about the mechanism itself.
Mm.
And all semi-automatic firearms are the same thing.
Right, right.
So that's the issue. What I'm curious about, and it may be happening, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but I would think that everyone in the firearm industry, manufacturers, retailers, mm-hmm. Ammunition makers, accessory makers,
mm-hmm.
optics makers, they should all be pitching in to support Remington in this lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
dividing up the legal fees. Because they'll all be next,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, the next time it'll be because the scope on the rifle, the optics uh-huh. on the rifle were what made the guy do it.
Right. But even going back to the argument that you're supposed to have the equal firepower to your tyrannical government as a threat, not even to do anything, just as that threat, that threat that keeps you in that space of liberty, okay, just by mere threat alone. Look at what they, in talking about muskets, because this seems to be sort of the ideology of the left. They talked about muskets. They didn't know what we'd be. Well, what was the firepower available at that time? What did the government have and what did the people have?
Same thing.
It doesn't matter whether it was a musket. It doesn't matter what it was called. They had the exact same in firepower. And it's a big point because right now that isn't the case anymore. And there's a reason that they have kept hidden or kept out there 20 to 30 years out on our technology. There is a reason for that. They didn't just do that happenstance. We don't know what technology we possess because all of it's been done in secret. So we don't know. All of it's been done at these bases. We don't know what our government has. So they are, in effect, leaving us with a dull knife while they've got everything else.
They are.
To their advantage.
And here's another thing that for some reason it was fully acceptable. When they made the inability to make automatic weapons,
mm-hmm.
why shouldn't we be able to have automatic weapons?
Right. Exactly.
There's no reason that we shouldn't be able to have an automatic firearm.
Yep. And like you said, 5 million sold in 3 cases of somebody gone awry that they can claim happened. Then, you know, that is not the grievance level for something that is doing a tremendous amount of damage anyway.
And they didn't even have that argument against mm-hmm. automatic weapons.
Right.
Because those kind of shootings didn't happen.
Exactly.
They just said, boy, one day this could be a bad thing.
Exactly. And right now they're trying to go after mental health to keep you from guns or going after red flag laws. And now they want to cut the manufacturers at their knees. That's, you know, we have to see all of the assault. If you really want an assault is what the government does to us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel assaulted every single time I go to an airport. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate. Hey,
from Milty.
I think you guys are exactly right that they're pummeling in so many different directions that it's really hard for us to be defensive with all of this. But the one case or the one argument that really needs to be brought out, I think and I hope that will happen, is that this shooter.
Did we lose her?
And he was denied. So if they really.
So he was. You're cutting in and out. So he was denied a background a background check.
He was. Mm-hmm. He was not able to get a gun himself, and so what he did was he stole the gun, the weapon from his mother. So if you have somebody in your house and you know that that person is not mentally stable, what are you doing as a responsible gun owner to make sure that that person is not able to access those guns?
So again, the
blame is being laid on all different
on
areas
a manufacturer.
So that they can try to undercut the Second Amendment at every turn. When again, and I really hope that they bring that out. He went through the right channels originally to try to get a gun, and then when that did not happen because those channels blocked him like they should, then he was basically breaking the law.
Right.
And when you disarm people who are law-abiding, the people who are going to break the law are going to break the law no matter what. They don't care. That's the problem. That's the crux, is they are going to do whatever it takes. And good abiding laws, you know, abiding citizens are
paying the
always
price.
Going to do the right thing because that's just inherent to them.
Yes, I agree.
So what do you do about the criminals who refuse to follow the law?
Well, the reason we have under 1%, well under 1% gun death in this country, under 1%, I hope everybody's listening, 1%, under 1%, is because we have citizens that are armed over 90%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, too. We just had deer hunt season, right? How many mass shootings did we have during deer hunt season?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
None.
Right. Exactly. You're exactly right. It's a great point. Thank you for that. I love that. I love that point. Yes, you're right. Hunting season. How many? You're going to have a couple of accidents every year. Those are accidents. Those weren't mass shooters in the way the government, you know, derives their narrative. You don't see it. You don't see mentally the people buying guns for hunt seasons in America as these mentally deranged people. They're not mentally deranged. They're not going out there. It was a fantastic point. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, furthermore, you have a politician that has a lot of bodyguards, and you have a Hollywood starlet or even a guy, a very, very short actor, which they all seem to be, with a lot of bodyguards around them, with a lot of firepower around them. Why don't they just arm themselves with one bodyguard? Because they don't know the threat. So what they do is they up the ante. They make sure they have plenty of bodyguards around them, right? And they hire these people. And you'll usually see multiple bodyguards around somebody pretty high profile. It's because you have to have you have to be able to overpower any threat that comes, right? You have to be able to make sure that you're the winner in that. And then you ask, why is the government wanting to take the assault weapons? Because they want to be the winner in any altercation. They don't want Americans to have any type of fair fight. Of course not. Because, of course, that's why we have the Second Amendment. But a lot of people won't say that. They won't talk about that against a tyrannical government. Go ahead and turn your dial down, sir, and go ahead, or ma'am, and go ahead with your phone call. You're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to say that the results of all this is what we just saw happen in Mexico. If they all get this through, you'll be between a criminal element that does anything at once and a crooked government that does anything at once, and the citizens are left defenseless and can do nothing but die. That's all the only option you'll have is to either submit and die.
So we're 2 seconds away from dealing with what we're going to now call cartels. The government becomes a cartel and they get to do what they want. And you're exactly right, because those people down there are not allowed to have weapons.
Nope.
So there's never a fair fight.
No, there's never.
Right.
They can't do anything to overthrow their government.
Right.
They can't do nothing to overthrow the cartels.
You're right.
It's the same way in Brazil, in El Salvador, all these other nations that have high crime rates. that these people want us to become just like them for some reason. I don't understand them.
It's illogical. It absolutely has zero logic to it, but they think they're making the world a safe place because they believe in criminals more than they do the citizenry. We have a citizenry that's over 90% armed. They think the criminals are going to abide by the law. They believe in them and not the 90% that's armed. It's amazing. I love your call.
Well, this is like Beto when he was asked about, you know, how are we going to get him from the criminals? He had no idea.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, well, I have faith that they'll abide. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for your call. I love it. Thanks. Oh, that was great. That was great.
You know, the reality actually is that a very small number of people in government and a small number of people in crime elements are the ones that want to take our firearms away from us.
Yeah.
It's a small number of people.
Yeah.
And all they've done is pit us against each other based on irrational arguments that make no sense at all when you break them down.
Yeah. And because they think they're going to make the world a safer place. Honestly, in a country like this, I'm not quite sure you could get under 1% gun death violence anywhere else on Earth. And honestly, the reason is because we are armed. So to take that away, what does that do? That changes the number. The number goes higher. Yet a leftist brain can't process the very obvious. Because you know what? They pat themselves on the back for being altruistic and saying, I want world peace and I want no more death. Yeah. Well, that's lovely, except it will never happen. You can't root out anything painful or all death.
Yeah. Well, I
think Satan had
you.
A plan like that once. You just can't do it because you have to do it by force.
I'm leaving this world alive.
Yeah. And the funniest part about that whole thing is they say that's what they want. And they say, you know, pat me on the back. I'm altruistic. Do they not realize that the government wants something different? Do they not realize that the only reason they would do that is to gain more force? And they don't think they're going to be a subject of that force. Somehow they're going to be excluded because they wanted it. That's what they don't get, is that any law they want to pass hurts their liberty. It's amazing.
You know, the actual statistics actually say it all.
What's that?
We have 300 million firearms in this country.
Mm-hmm.
From 1997 to 2017, the number of accidental firearm deaths, dropped 50%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually only make up 0.3% of the accidental deaths in this country.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And we have more digital safes now. We have more, technology. You know, you can keep them safe from the littles in your family.
They've never been safer than they are today.
And you know what? We even do less teaching of how to use a firearm
than
we
used to do.
And isn't that amazing? But I was taught in my youth. Thank goodness I had parents that understood that was something that needed to be known. It was a necessity.
Right.
Can you imagine raising your kid as such a giant wuss bag that you would tell them that gun is evil, we won't have it in our house? Can I tell you how many movies I've watched lately where that's the byline? Somebody in the movie says that. We don't have guns in our home. That's our rule. That's your rule? You might want to rethink that.
Yeah. Either that or go watch a Purge movie.
Gosh. Next hour, Rubio coined a new term. You got to get a load of this. Your brain's about to explode when you hear what Marco Rubio came up with. Yeah, he is a wolf in sheep's clothing for sure. Not a conservative at all. Just wait till you hear this on the way back. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.